Wow, you know, I'm sure you know that change. I'm sure you've heard. Change is coming. All right. Change is coming. But you know what? For those of you who love Jesus, for those of you who believe the biblical story, for those of you who are spirit-filled, the change that we see on the horizon isn't good for you. In the end, it's going to be great. You'll be in his presence. But between now and when you are actually in the presence of Jesus, when you can actually see him face to face and reach out and touch him, it's going to be very difficult. All right? I think there's a reason why we need to study this holiday called Hanukkah. It's not just because it's in the Bible. It's not just because Jesus celebrated this holiday. It's because there are some incredible lessons in this story that when things get difficult, we will be reminded of the Lord that we serve. All right? Because believers in all times and in all generations have gone through difficult periods. And I think ours is upon us. All right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's a menorah, but that is not. Is that a Hanukkah menorah? Yes or no?
No.
How many branches does the Hanukkah menorah have?
Eight.
Wrong. Who said nine? Very good. All right. Yes, that was close.
Close,
it was close. Okay. That's a nice menorah. That's good. That's the one. There's one like that in Jerusalem. All right. Actually, I'm sure that's the same one. And that one right there, if you go up to the up to where the Wailing Wall is, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, you will see that menorah. It's made out of pure gold. It cost about $8 million to manufacture, all right? My people are getting ready to rebuild the temple. Pastor John, listen to him, all right? All right. The reason why we want to talk about Hanukkah is because we see some incredible ideas on God's faithfulness in the midst of change. We see God's faithfulness in the midst of some incredible suffering. Now, this is one thing that I need you to do, all right? In Acts chapter 17, the Bereans, they were commended by the Apostle Paul because they heard the word and they, instead of just believing him, all right, they went back and they searched out the scriptures to see if what the Apostle Paul said, if that was true, all right? I need you to do the same. Worship, it's not just singing a song. It's not just praising God. But worship, it's not just giving money either. Worship is also reading, studying, knowing the Bible, all right? And I think you, in this time of change that is coming, you need to know your Messiah. So when things get difficult, you'll be standing upon the rock that will never fail you. All right? I think in, where is it, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about building your life upon the rock, and if you rather than the sand, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, if your life is built upon the rock, when trials of life come, guess what? You will not fade. All right? You will prosper. You will survive. Right? Now, so Hanukkah isn't just about lights and candles and eating potato latkes, potato pancakes, which are really nice, okay? No doubt about it. I mean, that's part of it, but that's not what the holiday is all about. We're going to talk about a number of passages from the Word of God, so if you're not able to flip pages real quick and digest some of these ideas, take a few notes, all right? And here's the deal. If you have any easy questions, I'm available to answer them later on, all right? If you have any hard ones, call Pastor John, all right? Don't bother me. I'll be in D.C. Call him and say, hey, brother, man, I don't understand what's going on. Why is this guy saying all this stuff? Okay. All right. In your copy of the Word of God, turn to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, in John chapter 10, we see our Messiah Jesus celebrating this holiday. And what's really fascinating about this, as Jesus is celebrating this holiday, there is an incredible reaction. And the question is, why? Why did the leaders in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, why did they have such an intense reaction? All right? And to find the answer to that question, we need to go back and to look at Daniel chapter 11, and we're going to spend a few minutes doing that as well. So in the hour and a half, 2 hours that we have today, can't cover it all, but you need to go back, okay? So I'm just going to give you just a little bit. All right. Starting in John chapter 10, starting in verse 22. At the time the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, and here the feast of dedication, that's Hanukkah. All right? All right. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple of the portico of Solomon. The Jews, therefore, gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be a god." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If you do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. All right, so here it is. It's the winter time. All right, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it's really fascinating. If you study Jesus' life, you will notice he's only in Jerusalem during holiday seasons. Most of his life, he is spent up in the northern part of Israel, up in the Galilee area. That's where he's doing his ministry. But during the holiday seasons, he would come down to Jerusalem, and he would celebrate. Now, the portico of Solomon, so we know that Jesus is in the temple. He's walking around, all right? And it's really interesting. In verse 24, the Jews, okay, and usually in the New Testament when we see the word Jews, okay, it's referring to the leadership, all right? So here you have the Jewish leadership. Some of them, they gather around Jesus, all right? And they start asking him a very good question. They said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, in Leviticus chapter 5, if a Jewish part of the law, all right, part of the law required, if a Jewish person, if a leader came up to you and said, "Tell us, give us the answer," all right, it was necessary for that person to answer, all right. If he didn't tell them who he was, then at that point in time, he would be breaking the law, all right? And we know Jesus lived a perfect life. He did not break any of those 613 commandments in the Torah. So we know he answers them, all right? Okay. So Jesus, the first thing he said, He said, look at the works that I am doing, all right? Now, if you want to do an interesting study in Scripture, go study the miracles, all right? There are three primary periods when these incredible miracles are being done. The miracles were done to validate the message, all right? In the days of Moses and Joshua, in the days of Elijah and Elisha, and then in the days of Jesus and Paul. In those three periods of time, we see incredible miracles happening, all right? And again, the purpose of those miracles were to validate the message, to say, hey, look, I have authority to tell you these things because I have authority over the natural world, all right? All right. So here we have Jesus. He's doing all these miracles. People know about it, all right? They know who he is. But they go up and they start asking him because they're trying to nail him, actually. All right. All right. And so Jesus says, he tells them, hey, you know what? Verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. All right? So now, you know, we have this image of sheep and shepherds, people and leaders. All right? For a Jewish person who knows the scripture, and since the leaders are talking to Jesus at this point in time, they knew. They had some ideas of this imagery, of these ideas that that Jesus was talking about. In Ezekiel chapter 34, in Ezekiel chapter 34, there are two primary ideas. False leaders, false shepherds, and good shepherds. All right? And the people in Ezekiel's day were rebuked because they were not, the leaders were not being obedient. So Jesus brings this idea, and he says, you know what? If you were good sheep, if you were good shepherds, you would hear my voice, you would know who I am, and you would be following me, all right? And he would give them what? Eternal life, okay. But you notice the story continues, all right? And then in verse 30, okay, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. So this is an incredible state. I mean, here he is, he's talking to these religious people, and these people are trying to live an obedient life according to what they understood. So they're trying. They weren't doing a good job, but they're still trying, all right? So when Jesus made that statement, you see an incredible reaction in verse 31. What was that reaction? They picked up stones and they wanted to stone him. They wanted to take his life. There are two reasons for that, all right? The first one, keep your finger in John chapter 10 and turn to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, all right, Moses gave us some very good instruction on what to do with the false prophet, what to do with the dreamer, all right? And I just want to read you a couple of verses, but you need to go back and look at this to see that the way that the Pharisees were responding was actually, it was biblical. They were wrong, but it was still biblical, all right? In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6 says, if your brother, your mother's son, or your son or daughter, or the wife you cherish, or your friend who is as your own soul entices you secretly saying, let us go and serve other gods, all right? So someone who is very close to you, a family member, an intimate friend, someone who you love and you care about, all right? Look at verse 9. It says, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So if somebody was to come into the congregation, all right, and proclaim a message, you know, about serving another god, the result was that the people were to pick up stones and to destroy that person, all right? They were to remove it. Little did they realize that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't understand. Part of their hearts were hard and on, okay? But at least they were acting biblically, All right? It would have been better if they were repenting of their sin, but that's a different issue. Okay.